You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche, and we have a few ladies in here with us today to talk about Alaska Invasive Species Awareness Week, which is something that the governor has declared between June 18th and the 24th, so we still have a few days to appreciate the fact that we do have invasive species and that maybe we should try to control them, which is something that Blythe Brown has been working on for many a year. Why don't you introduce yourself, Blythe?
Hi, I'm Blythe Brown. I work for the Kodiak Soil and Water Conservation District. I've been working for them since about 2003, I think.
What is it that your organization does?
As an organization, we do a lot, but one of our main programs is the invasive species program. We survey, educate, control, anything to do with invasive species on the whole archipelago. We are the lead entity that for the Kodiak Archipelago Cooperative Weed Management Area. We were a little more active in past years as a group of weed management area members, but every year our partners say, well, the Kodiak Soil and Water Conservation District is doing the work, so let's let them keep doing the work. But we are partnering, and this year one of our partners is Shunack Tribe of Kodiak, and we've got Mandy Cox here is an intern that's has been loaned to us for several weeks this summer.
All right, and we also have a couple of other young ladies here with us today. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Annie Lumen, and I am back in Kodiak for the summer, working with Kodiak Soil and Water Conservation District.
I'm Laurel Hanna, and Annie and I are the summer field crew.
All right, and so you guys are all Kodiak locals, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Did you guys know each other before now?
Yeah, kind of.
You did?
We went to school together.
Okay. Are you all in the same grade? Were you all in the same grade? You're not still in high school, but...
I was a year below them, but...
Yeah, but Mandy and I were in the same class.
Okay, and what are you guys doing now? Not right now, because right now you're working with Blythe, but during the year, what do you guys do?
I go to school up at the University of Alaska Fairbanks for natural resource management and sociology.
Okay, what about you guys?
I go to the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington.
I actually worked for 2 years, and in the fall I'll be going to Bellingham to go to school.
Oh, really cool. Okay, so you took like a 2-year real life stay.
Yes, I did.
What did you do during that time?
Well, I moved out twice and then moved back in with my parents, mm-hmm. and just worked at Island Air for mm-hmm. a year and a half.
Oh, cool. Okay. What did you do with Island Air?
I was a ticket agent.
Okay. So what did you find about job life that made you want to go back to school?
It's pretty repetitive.
It can be.
Yeah.
And what do you want to study in school?
I'm not really sure yet.
No pressure.
A lot of interest, so.
You don't have to know.
Yeah. We're hoping she wants to get into natural resources.
Yeah. So how did you transition from Island Air to this kind of internship?
Well, I've been part of the Shunack tribe my whole life, so I just heard about it and applied, and it sounded like a cool outdoor summer thing to do, and I just applied.
Have you guys all been doing the same kind of things for the group, or have you been doing a variety of tasks?
For us, we've been surveying past sites and familiarizing myself since I just started with the different weeds and different plants we're trying to identify.
And what about you guys? Have you been doing kind of the same thing?
Well, this is only my second day this summer, but I worked last summer. So we've just been, surveying and looking around, but I'm excited to start spraying herbicide and digging stuff up.
Oh, I hope you're going to be wearing masks over your faces, will you? Or are you going to, like, bear the brunt of the pesticides?
Well, it's not, like, really toxic. I mean, you shouldn't eat it, but, like, it's not going to spray up in the air into your lungs or whatever. It's not as terrible as people tend to think.
Okay, good. Good to know. What about you? It's not your first few days, is it?
No, but I've been tossed around, kind of. I've done some stuff with some clams and crawfish. I'm kind of a traveling intern for Kodiak.
Uh-huh. Okay, cool. Yeah. What did you do with clams?
Well, we were sending out samples to
PSP.
Test for PSP.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So why don't you give us a little update on what PSP is? We might as well fold it into the talk show.
Well, it's definitely out there. It may not make you sick all the time, but you should definitely be aware.
Paralytic shellfish poisoning.
Yes.
What is that for people who are not familiar with what it is?
It is a toxin in the water. It's a type of, like, algae bloom, and it can pass through the clams, like when they drink the water or eat, passes through them, but it gets, I guess, stuck in the clams' meat itself.
Mm-hmm. And there was a notice a little bit ago saying how the shellfish, the PSP toxin, was pretty high recently. And people in the villages do often harvest clams and other things, and they've been advised not to do that because people don't have a natural ability to resist the toxin. They should probably have it tested because there is a danger of people getting sick, and people have gotten sick in the past. So that's something. It's cool that you got to work on that. I feel like you're a good person to speak to if you want a good sense of all the different issues going around the island, from PSP to invasive species. And in fact, I was just taking a look at, you handed me a pamphlet here with lots of pictures. Some of the pictures are flowers that just this morning I was biking by saying, oh, what nice yellow flowers. So nice that things are flowering in Kodiak. And it turns out that these creeping buttercups are, in fact, invasive. Very nice looking invasive flowers. So could you kind of give us a rundown on some of the flowers that are, in fact, introduced and taking over?
Well, Kodiak, our big poster flower, of course, is orange hawkweed. Orange hawkweed is all over in the city of Kodiak, in Yuzinki and Port Lions. But outside of the main concentration areas, we don't have a whole lot of orange hawkweed. So other species, oxeye daisy, reed canary grass, it's a grass that's invasive. That we have a project going on. We hope to get funded this year to continue what we started last year and killing reed canary grass in the Buskin River watershed because it's impacting the stream flow and aquatic habitats there. Creeping buttercup, we've got several locations around. The refuge is very concerned with creeping buttercup. There's a couple of remote spots where they've discovered that species, and they're trying to control it. It will take over, and just like orange hawkweed, it will crowd everything else out. It'll crowd all the native species out of the area that it is in. Bohemian knotweed is currently, we've got, don't remember the numbers, but less than 30 locations of bohemian knotweed on the whole archipelago. And so far, it's only in residential sites. If that gets out, that particular species can also impact our rivers and salmon habitat. Its natural method of spread is to break off pieces and float downstream and create a new colony. Thistles, we've got two thistles here in Kodiak, bull thistle and Canada thistle, or creeping thistle. Here in Alaska, we work with a lot of Canadians, and they'd prefer us to use the word creeping because it's not from Canada. And toad flax, so far toad flax, there is a patch of it out of residential site in Old Harbor. Other than that, for that species, I don't know of any other Kodiak sites where it's out of anybody's garden. So that's one that we would really like to get rid of before it does escape any further.
How are these plants introduced? Because sometimes, I understand we've talked about crayfish, and they're introduced. Why don't you explain how crayfish are introduced?
We think that crayfish may have been a release if someone had them in their aquariums and dumped them in the river thinking that they would die, or thinking that it was a good idea to just, like, let the pets be free and that they took over. It's very less likely that they may have, like, hitchhiked in on someone's gear, because that is a way that aquatic invasives can spread, and terrestrial invasives as well. But it seems less likely with crayfish. But they're pretty resilient. They'll live out of water for a couple days It just has to be moist in the air, really. So to transport them accidentally can happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing a lot of these invasive species are very resilient. Like, they're tough to kill.
Absolutely, yes.
Which is why they're so successful as invasive species. Mm-hmm. So I understand how aquatic species like the crayfish are introduced. That makes sense. How are some of these plants brought onto the island?
Gardeners. We know orange hawkweed was introduced in the mid-60s. The local Kodiak gardeners thought it was a pretty cool plant. They could plant it and it wouldn't die in their garden. You know, some people talk about having black thumbs instead of green thumbs, and they were pretty excited about this new orange-flowered plant. Unfortunately, we learned the hard way that it was one that we didn't want. And that gardeners introduce a lot of these plants just unknowingly. Some of these plants, like the thistles, often come in contaminated feed. This last winter, I don't know if you remember, some chicken feed was discovered with Canada thistle or creeping thistle seeds in it. I've seen it in some of the plants from, like at Walmart, their plants they bring up from Washington State. Sometimes the soil is contaminated if their supplier has not done a good job of cleaning or keeping the weeds out of their plants down in Washington.
Have you talked to Walmart at all about that? You guys?
We're working with Walmart. We're hoping to talk with them about some other species that are around their area, but we're talking with them, and it's a little more difficult with a larger corporation, but... Mm-hmm. They're one of our contacts.
That does seem to be the case often with corporate. Well, the managers are not directly in control of what the corporation is doing, so they might not always be aware of the local issues that are popping up, right?
But some plants that are found that are on the noxious weed list, they can pull them if they're found.
What is noxious weed?
It's a legal term. There's noxious weed lists in all the states across the country. Unfortunately, the Alaska noxious weed list is an old agricultural seed list. So it's not real useful for some of our management, but it was how we dealt with the seed in the chicken feed, because that company was given a cease and desist order to stop importing that particular batch of feed into the state. And because creeping thistle is on the noxious seed list, we were able to do that. If they brought in purple loosestrife was just recently brought on. Looking at my list here, some of these other species. Oxeye daisy, it's not illegal to bring oxeye daisy into the state. It's not on the noxious weed list.
Does the noxious weed list need to be updated?
Absolutely, but that's it needs to be done at the legislative level right now. We all know where that's heading right now.
Nowhere.
Actually, we don't know. We don't know where that's heading right now.
Yeah, what other projects are currently before the legislature that impact the Water and Soil Conservation District?
A lot of our partners, we work with state entities. Specifically for invasive species, some of the locations that these guys have been out surveying are along DOT right-of-ways. That's the state of Alaska highway. In order to manage any of the invasive species along a state right-of-way, we have to have the blessings of the state, mm-hmm. and they have to give us their permits. They have to come inspect the sites before we are allowed to do anything on them. Unfortunately, they haven't given us any funding. We'd love for that to happen too, but we do need to work with their people.
Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of the ongoing issue before the borough of the junk cars, where you need to touch base with the state before you do anything on the roads. It's one of those things that you notice, but you need to get permission before acting on, like invasive species.
Exactly. We're all a big partnership here, and if any of the partners are, if their hands are tied, our hands are tied too.
And how
the permits go through the state also, mm-hmm. so we need a permit. Laurel was talking about the herbicide that we use, and we go through a lengthy permitting process to get permission to do any of that, and to make sure that all the all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed with all the safety issues, all the water location issues, all the what are we using, what effects will it have, everything like that, and it all goes through the state.
What is the herbicide that you're using?
We've got two that we're currently using. One is a broadleaf weed killer, and the other is a more general general use herbicide that kills everything. So in order to kill a grass, you need something like glyphosate. In order to kill orange hawkweed or oxeye daisy, you need a broadleaf weed killer, and you don't want to kill the grass because you want your grass to grow. So we use a couple of different products.
In the permitting process, what's the criteria to, like, get – how can you get the herbicides past the permitting process?
The Soil and Water Conservation District, we are considered a quasi-state entity, so we actually have to jump through more hoops than other entities might have to. There is one commercial applicator here in town. He has his own permitting process. He doesn't need to jump through the extra DEC permits, but he does have a state-issued pesticide applicator license. The general public doesn't have to go through that permitting process either. They are allowed to apply herbicide to their own properties. If they are not allowed to apply herbicide to other properties. And since we as the Soil and Water Conservation District want to apply herbicide to other people's properties, that's where some of those extra permits and rules and regulations come in.
So on people's own private property, they're in control of the weeds that get onto their properties. So who are the people who are calling you, or how do you decide what properties that you're supposed to be tackling?
There's we kind of prioritize our species and our locations of species. Like even orange hawkweed in the middle of Kodiak, the city of Kodiak, or the middle of Port Lions, or the middle of Yuzinki, we really can't do much about them ourselves on people's public private land yards. We don't have the funding. We don't have the people. We don't. It's a lot of work. So private property owners need to become responsible for their own management. We will help them. We can give them advice. We can give them recommendations on what could be done. But if we find orange hawkweed, like one year my crew found just a very small I think it was just even a couple of stems of orange hawkweed out on one of our trails remotely. And that's important to us. We treat it kind of like a wildfire. Keep it contained. If you have a bonfire, keep it contained within your fire ring. So the city of Kodiak is our fire ring. And if we get a spark like the orange hawkweed out on one of our trails, we can use our funding and our time to go get that. That's a priority location. Priority species, Canada thistle. We have the opportunity to eradicate Canada thistle from Kodiak Island. So that is a higher priority. The Alaska Plant Materials Center has given us some funding specifically to go after creeping thistle because it's an agricultural pest for them. If it got into our grazing fields, our gardens, our hay fields, it could be a huge problem. So it's all a priority issue. We don't go after dandelions, unfortunately, even though they are affecting our wildflower meadows. We don't have the funding. We don't have the time. That species is already out of the hat.
Hmm. And what are some of the priority properties right now?
Well, we do have one creeping thistle patch we've been battling for 2 years out in Passagshack. We almost got that one out. That was, I think it was a quarter acre to begin with, and now it was down to just a few plants last year. Is that right, Laurel?
Yeah.
Some of our other priority, well, Bohemian knotweed we're trying to get out. We are actually working with landowners within the city limits for Bohemian knotweed because that's a high priority species to eradicate from Kodiak also. I think we do have the opportunity to get to eradicate that one. So no matter where that one is, we can use our funding to work on that species.
So if anyone's listening right now and they had a request for you to help out in some of these priority species, how do they reach out to you?
Phone number.
Oh, our phone number. Our phone number is 486-5574. And we probably have an email, right?
info@kodiaksoilandwater.org.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, if you see Blythe or Annie or Laurel or Mandy walking around, like, in Safeway or something, you could totally reach out to us.
You guys should just print out some T-shirts. Have, like, invasive...
We were talking about that today.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
That'd be a really good idea. Also, you could unite under one banner. You just walk around with these T-shirts being like, contact me. You can have a phone number on the back, like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
So, Blythe, could you talk a little bit about the funding issues right now with the organization?
They're tight.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons I am very, very happy with Shunack for sharing Mandy with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't think I was going to be able to get a crew this year for a while. My usual funding, ever since 2003, I've been getting funding from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It's separate from the refuge. All these agencies have different offices, and the funding that's been coming to me was through their coastal programs and their Partners for Fish and Wildlife programs. This year, we got nothing from them. We're hoping right now they've found a few thousand dollars of their end of the year funding that we just applied to, so we might get a little bit from them. But the Alaska Plant Materials Center had some funding from the U.S. Forest Service that we were able to get to hire Laurel and Annie for a short season. If I can get some more funding, then they can work the whole summer.
And what, as it stands right now, how long are you guys working?
10 weeks each.
10 weeks, okay. So what's the status of funding from local government entities?
We used to get Kodiak Island Borough funding through their nonprofit program, because we have a nonprofit umbrella at the state level. But we would use that for educational purposes. So anytime the crews go out to summer camps or school groups, or some of our, like the garden club had their plant sale, and we put educational displays up and talk to people. I could use the educational funding for that, but with the borough's reorganization and budget cuts, we got cut out of all of their funding. So right now, for invasive species, we don't have any other funding other than the Plant Materials Center right now.
Well, it's lucky you have these helpers with you then to help out on the big, big task in front of you. It's hard to, I imagine, stop the invasive species from taking hold. I kind of imagine it just pops up overnight, some of these plants.
It seems to. Some of them do appear to spontaneous, is that combustion? But that's why it's so important to get everybody involved. Get the private landowners to manage their own lands, to get the public landowners, the borough, the city, to manage their own lands. We have no funding from the city, but there are some city invasive weed infestations that should be tackled. There's some creeping thistle on city land that we've been doing for them for the last several years without funding from them.
Mm. And so as far as the invasive crawfish go, or the crayfish as they're called, how is that going? Because we have a lot of plants, but you also have this one living creature that just keeps on coming back.
Yeah, the problem with the crayfish right now, like Blythe was talking about with funding, is that we don't have any funding to go out and do monitoring of crayfish or go out and start removing them if that was the management decision reached. But we're really relying on community volunteers who are going out and catching them on their own time, snorkeling for them, eating them, but also letting us know what they're collecting. I had a friend go out last night and catch some, and I texted her, like, hey, tell me what you caught, how many, if there were any with eggs. And she did. And they caught something like around 96 crayfish, and four of them had eggs. So those are animals that are out of our watershed for the buskin, and we have the information on them.
Have you tried marketing that to the public, saying, get a good meal and also help out the invasive species counts in Kodiak?
I don't think we ran that particular marketing tool, but we encourage public volunteers.
Mm-hmm. How many volunteers have you guys gotten so far?
We don't really know, because a lot of them are just doing it on their own. And then we get reports, such as Annie's friends, that report back to us. But if we don't know the people, they aren't reporting to us.
And is crayfish the only invasive living creature?
It depends on your definition. There are a lot of non-native species in Kodiak. Some of them are more damaging than others. I know a few people that would probably think the mountain goats were invasive because of the damage they do up high to the alpine habitats. But they were purposely introduced, and they are a valuable part of Kodiak's habitat now, our food
cycle. So we've got 1 minute. Can you guys tell us again how to reach out to you in case you have one of these priority species on your lawn?
Well, if you see us around, you can reach out to us, or we have a phone number. That's 486-5574. Our email is...
info, at kodiaksoilandwater.org.
You guys have a website. You have a website, too.
We do have a website. Once again, funding issues are not letting us update our website right now. We don't have time or funding to put somebody on that. But it's still a pretty cool website.
All right. Thank you guys so much for
joining
us.
We have a Facebook page.
And a Facebook page. Thanks for joining us. We are here for Alaska Invasive Species Awareness Week. You've been listening to Talk of the Rock.